إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، so we're on the topic of the meat and the hunting. And we spoke last week, or in the last lesson, regarding some of the conditions of the trained dog that is allowed to be used for hunting purposes. There were some questions at the end of that about the types of dogs that are allowed. We said that the dog is allowed for three purposes, and those three purposes were hunting, like a sheep dog, as we say, for your cattle and herd, etc. And an agriculture type of dog, something that looks after your crops and your fields so that they are not eaten by the other animals. The issue of the guard dog for your homes, what was the ruling on that? Many of the scholars, they say it's not allowed because it's not one of the categories mentioned in the hadith, for a start. There were three specific categories mentioned in the hadith. Guard dog for your home was not one of the categories mentioned. Some of the scholars said, well, if it's allowed for your sheep and your crops, then surely it's allowed for your home. And therefore they gave the fatwa upon that ijtihad and qiyas that it's allowed. But many of them, they say it's not allowed. It was never used by the companions. And it's not something which is established. Also with the hunting dog, we mentioned if the hunting dog is trained, then there are conditions or there are certain things that highlight to you that a dog is trained. What are the things that identify whether a dog is trained or not? So when you instruct it to go, it goes, chases. Also, the opposite, when you tell it to stop, it stops. Also, it understands to catch the prey and not to kill it for itself. Understands it is not catching the prey for itself. If it catches the prey and starts eating or tearing apart, then you realize that the dog has done it for himself. And therefore it's haram. If the prey dies like that before you get to it, it's haram. Unless you slaughter it yourself. But if the dog catches it and it bleeds out, the dog has caught it and stopped, then you know it's done it for you. And you've done the name of Allah upon it when sending the dog. In that case, it's halal. There was the issue somebody asked about the dog, the saliva. We know the saliva of the dog is impure, such that it is mentioned in the hadith, if a dog was to come and lick your cup or your plate or your utensil, then how do you wash it out? Seven times, and the first washing must be done with some soil. So we know that the saliva of the dog is impure. That's absolutely definite by the hadith. The rest of the dog, is it impure? Its fur, its everything else? Difference between the scholars. But the saliva, certainly. So now a trained dog is no different. The saliva is the saliva. When it catches the prey, the saliva is gonna go on the prey. That area where it grabs it with its mouth, the saliva's gone on it. What are you gonna do with that area? Halal, haram, pure, impure, what's the ruling? That was a question. And wasn't that the homework? Absolutely it was. So, what's the answer? Hands up if you attempted to do the homework. One, to anybody else who attempted to find the answer. Only two people tried to find the answer. Only two people attempted to seek knowledge. That's a poor ratio. The scholars have mentioned regarding it, in a nutshell, many of them say it is ma'fuun anhu. that in that instance it is excusable. Because otherwise it would be problematic. If the dog catches a rabbit, that's a huge bite mark on the rabbit. A huge chunk of it would have to go. So the scholars, they say, in that instance, it is excused. The ruling Islamically would be that it is excused. That is the opinion of many of the scholars on that issue. The hunting dog, when it catches the prey, it is excused. And it doesn't have to come into you chopping that whole area out, etc. Moving on to the next narration then. Hadith of Adi ibn Hatim. Who's going to read first? Go on then, loud. You know, in Medina, if that happened, you wouldn't be allowed to read. If you didn't bring your own book, you wouldn't be allowed to read. But alhamdulillah, for your case, we're not in Medina. Go on then. Copies have sold out in the whole wide world. Inshallah, we'll try to do something then. We'll try and find them for you. Go on. What number? 7398? No, in the Arabic, what is it? 7398? 7398. Hadith of Aisha.
Qala haddathna Yusuf ibn Musa, haddathna Abu Khalid ibn Ahmar, qala sami'tu Hisham ibn Urwata yuhaddithu an abihi an Aisha qalat قالوا يا رسول الله إن هنا أقواما حديثا أحدهم بشرك يأتون بلحمان لا ندري يذكرون اسم الله عليها أم لا قال اذكروا أنتم اسم الله وكلوا تابعه محمد بن عبد الرحمن والدراوردي وأسامة بن حفص.
Anybody else? Go on, loud.
قال حدثنا يوسف بن موسى قال حدثنا أبو خالد الأحمر قال سمعت هشام ابن عروة يحدث عن أبي أن عائشة قالت قالوا يا رسول الله إن هنا أقواما حديثا أحدهم بشرك يأتون بلحمان لا ندري يذكر اسم الله عليها أم لا قال اذكروا أنتم اسم الله وقولوا
So in this narration then, Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, قال حدثنا يوسف ابن موسى. Who is? Anyone? يوسف ابن موسى القطان الكوفي صدوق. قال حدثنا أبو خالد الأحمر. Who is Sulaiman ibn Hayyan al-Azdi al-Kufi? Saduqun yukhti. Qal sami'tu Hisham ibn Urwah ibn Zubair ibn al-Awam al-Asadi thiqatun faqih rubbama dallas. An abihi, who is therefore Urwah ibn Zubair ibn al-Awam ثقة. Who narrates from عائشة رضي الله عنها the companion. قالوا أو قالت قالوا she says that they said some people they came and said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رسول الله أو messenger of Allah إن هنا أقواما حديثا عهدهم بشرك يأتونا بلحمان لا ندري يذكرون اسم الله عليها أم لا. They said, O Messenger of Allah, here there are people who have recently left shirk and become Muslim. Brand new Muslims amongst us. There are some amongst us new, very recently left all of that and accepted and entered into Islam. يَأْتُونَا بِلُحْمَانِ They come to us with meat. لَا نَدْرِي We don't know. يَذْكُرُونَ اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا أَمْ لَا Have they mentioned the name of Allah upon that or not? Because they're new to Islam, they may not know all of the rulings yet. We don't know. Do they know this yet? Do they mention the name of Allah upon this or not? قال اذكروا أنتم اسم الله وكلوا That you mention the name of Allah and eat. You mention the name of Allah upon it, then eat it. تابعه محمد ابن عبد الرحمن محمد ابن عبد الرحمن الطفاوي البصري صدوق يهم الدراوردي عبد العزيز بن محمد المدني صدوق and أسامة ابن حفص المدني صدوق So what is the fiqh of this particular hadith? Firstly, number one, أن الفعل إذا وقع من أهله فَإِنَّ الْأَصْلِ فِيهِ السَّلَامَةِ If something occurs from somebody or from a people who overall fulfill the conditions of that thing, then it's acceptable. These people now, they were new to Islam, but were they Muslims or not? Muslims. They've slaughtered. The asal, the default therefore is, you've got Muslims who have slaughtered. Their slaughtering is halal. The asal, the default is, it's halal. So the Shaykh is saying, principally speaking, if somebody who generally fulfills the conditions of something, does that something, then that something is okay. These people, okay, they were new to Islam, but they were in Islam. They fulfilled the condition, because the condition of a legitimate slaughtering is, one of the conditions is, the slaughterer must be a Muslim or from the people of the book. So here they were Muslim. So they fulfilled the condition. Therefore, the asal is that it's safe. It is safe, their meat. That's the asal. فالبيع إذا وقع من جائز التصرف فالأصل فيه السلامة Buying and selling, for example, if buying and selling happens from somebody who is able, Islamically the conditions are in him to have the ability to buy and sell, then the trade with him is legitimate. What do we mean that they have the conditions and ability to buy and sell? For example, if Sufyan comes to me, he comes to me with an iPhone, I say to him, well, I'll give you £20 for it. He says, MashaAllah, excellent, I'll take it. Is that legitimate or not? Because I've just robbed him. Because he doesn't know the reality of how much it's worth. It's worth £200. So now they say, Islamically, you've got to have the ability to buy and sell. If a person has the ability to buy and sell and they do a trade, then it's the asal is it's allowed. The asal is it's allowed. One of the elder brothers comes along and sells me for £20. You can't come tomorrow now and say, oh, but you know, this and that. The asal is, it's my phone. The asal then is it's allowed. So the Shaykh is saying, if a person has the characteristics and does an action upon those characteristics that legitimize it, then the action by default, there could be other factors afterwards, but by default the action is legitimate and good. وَكَذَلِكَ الْهِبَى And he gives some other examples. الثَّانِيَة The second thing we learn here. الذَّابِحِ إِذَا كَانَ أَهْلًا لِلذَّبْحِ وَشَكَكْنَا هَلْ سَمَّى أَمْ لَا فَإِنَّنَا لَا نَلْتَفِتُ إِلَى هَذَا الشَّكِّ Now getting to the actual issue of the hadith by name. If the slaughterer, the one who slaughtered, we have a doubt whether he named, whether he mentioned the name of Allah upon the slaughtering or not, the default is that we don't need to open up this issue. He is a legitimate slaughterer. He has the conditions of a person who can slaughter as a halal slaughtering. He's done it. We don't need to open up the topic, but he's not really all that practicing this, that, the other. Did he mention the name of Allah when he did it? Did he do it properly or not? We don't need to open up that topic. بِنَاءً عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْأَصْلَ السَّلَامَ. Because the default is he is a Muslim, and therefore what he slaughters is by default halal. وَلِذَا سَأَلُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنْ ذَبَائِحْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ هُمْ حَدِيثُ عَهْدِ بِالشِّرْكِ. والغالب أن حديث العهد بالشرك لا يعرف أحكام الإسلام. For this reason, they came and they asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that these people amongst us, there were some people who had recently become Muslims. And obviously somebody who recently became Muslim, only just left shirk, may not know all of the rulings of Islam and what you have to do and what not to do. They may not know the rulings of slaughtering and that you have to mention the name of Allah. So they came asking the Prophet ﷺ that basically we have a doubt, we don't know. Did they mention the name of Allah or not? We don't know if they've done that or not. So what is the ruling regarding their slaughterings and their meat they bring to us? وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ, despite that potential doubt, despite that potential doubt of whether they mentioned it or not, the Prophet ﷺ said to them, اُذْكُرُوا أَنْتُمْ إِسْمَ اللَّهِ وَكُلُوا. You just mention the name of Allah upon it and you can eat it. You just mention the name of Allah upon it then and you can eat it. فَدَلَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الذَّبِيحَ إِذَا ذَبَحَهَا مَنْ هُوَ أَهْلٌ لِلذَّبْحِ لَا نَسْأَلْ هَلْ سَمَّى أَمْ لَا لِأَنَّ الْأَصَلْ أَنَّ الذَّبِيحَ حَلَالٌ. Therefore basically if a person has the characteristics that legitimize for him to slaughter and he slaughters, then the default is his slaughtering is halal. And we don't need to go into but this and but that, and we don't know would he have named the name of Allah upon it, done it properly or not, he's not really practicing, etc., etc. We don't need to go into all of that. Muslim slaughters, the default is it's halal. Also, on top of that, we don't need to go into other issues either. If the Muslim has slaughtered, a Muslim has slaughtered, he's fulfilled the rule, he's a Muslim, his slaughtering is halal for us, we don't need to go into other discussions either about how did he slaughter. Did he use a knife? Or because we know he's a bit ignorant, he doesn't really, nothing, never comes to the lessons, doesn't, nothing. Did he even slaughter properly, or did he use the stun gun and do this and that? We don't know how he did it or what he did, because we just don't really trust him. He's not somebody really knowledgeable or anything. We do not need to go into all of those topics and open up all of those issues. We don't need to do that. Islamically, it is not upon us to do that. لِأَنَّ التَّسْمِيَ شَرْطْ وَإِنْهَارُ الدَّمْ شَرْطْ وَإِذَا كُنَّا لَا نَسْأَلْ عَنِ التَّسْمِيَ فَإِنَّنَا لَا نَسْأَلْ عَنْ إِنْهَارِ الدَّمْ وَلَا فَرْقْ. Naming the name of Allah upon the slaughtering is a condition. Spilling out the blood from that animal is a condition. If we're not going to open up the topic and say, well, would he have really known that he needs to name the name of Allah upon the slaughtering or not? We don't need to go into it. He's a Muslim, he slaughtered, it's halal. Upon the same justification, we don't need to go into the topic of the blood needs to be spilt out as a condition. Would he have done that? Does he know he needs to do that? We don't need to go into all of that. He's a Muslim. He's slaughtered. He's brought you the meat on the plate. It's halal. We don't need to go into did he name Allah? Did he spill the blood properly? Did he fulfill the sunnah in how you slaughter? We do not need to open up those topics. The Sheikh goes on to say, If a Jew or a Christian fed you, a Jew or a Christian brought you food, brought you some meat, a Jew or a Christian brought you some meat, do we eat it or not? Your neighbor is a Jew, your neighbor is a Christian. One day, they bring you some food, not any celebration, that's a different issue, you don't eat celebratory food, but some random day, one day, they bring some food to you. Jew, Christian neighbor, do you take it, accept it, eat it or not? What kind of meat it is? Meaning what? As long as it's not pork, it's beef, it's chicken. They bring you some legs. So you eat it or not? Eat it? Everybody? Christian, he's a Christian. You see him going to church every Sunday morning. He's a Christian. So eat it. The Sheikh says, we don't need to go into the same types of topics there either. Is, by default, the slaughtering of a Jew and a Christian halal for you? By default, it's halal for you. All you need to know is this man a Jew? Is this man a Christian? You know your neighbor is a Jew. You know your neighbor is a Christian. Absolutely. You know that. They bring you the meat. The default condition has been fulfilled. He's a Jew. He's brought you meat. His meat, by default, is halal for you. He says, I did it. Went to the farm, slaughtered everything, cooked it for you. Christian, same thing. He says, I went to the farm, everything slaughtered myself, did it for you. They have the condition in them by default. Their slaughtering for you is halal by default. You're allowed to eat. You don't need to go into, but are they really a practicing Jew and a practicing Christian? Do they really know how they, as the people of the book, are supposed to slaughter X, Y, and Z? You do not need to go into all of that. He is a Jew. He is a Christian. They've slaughtered and brought meat to you. By default, you're allowed to take it and have it. But what should you do? Say the name of Allah upon it. You mention the name of Allah upon it and you can eat it. Mention the name of Allah upon it and you can eat it. Of course. But here, you're right. An intention, now when you're saying it, you're saying the name of Allah upon it, you're saying it for this purpose too. Generally, you're saying Bismillah when you start eating food, but here now you're mentioning the name of Allah upon it as a particular thing, for a particular reason. وَيُشْعِرُ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ بِفَحْوَاهُ انْتِقَادَ السُّؤَالِ. So this narration seems to indicate to us so far, what we've seen so far, that it's something critical, criticized. Something which is criticized for you to start opening up questions into the issue. By default, the situation is, he's a Muslim, he's a Christian, he's a Jew. By default, their slaughterings are halal. You should not open up the door to discussion and questions about their slaughtering. That's what it indicates so far. How do we understand from the narration that it's not something really that you should do and it's something criticized for you to get into that? Because when they did it, the Prophet ﷺ just said to them, Sammu antum akulu. You just name, you say the name of Allah upon it and just eat it. It's as if he was saying to them, you have no need to get into all of this. Just say the name of Allah upon it and eat it. There is no need for you to get into anything else. Getting into all of the rest of it is therefore not praiseworthy. It's as though the Prophet ﷺ is saying to them, just say the name of Allah and eat it. There is no need for you to get into the rest of it. Getting into the rest of it is therefore dispraiseworthy. فَإِنَّ هَذَا مِنَ التَّعَمُّقِ وَمِنَ التَّنَطُّعِ. تَنَطُّعِ is delving into something too deep. Delving into something too deep. And there is no need to delve into things to a level of depth sometimes. There is no need. There is no need to do that. You're, for example, on any issue, delving into something deep basically means asking too many unnecessary questions about something. Getting into something at a level of depth and detail and unnecessary questioning where you have no need to do that. Tanattu'a. Exaggeration in your questioning and in the level of depth you're getting into. So here you don't need to do that. And doing so would be considered from you as that you are going into exaggeration in the affair. وَهَذَا هُوَ الْمُوَافِقُ لِلشَّرِيعَةِ الْإِسْلَامِيَّةِ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَتَنَطَّعْ وَيَتَعَمَّقْ مَا دَامَ الْفِعْلُ صَدَرَ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ فَلَا تَبْحَثْ. So Islamically, this is the correct way to behave. When something has occurred upon the correct basis, there is no need for you to delve. And but what about this? And but what about that? And but what about this? And but what about that? You don't need to get into that. A Muslim has slaughtered, he has bought you meat, it's halal. The man over there, he's got a butcher shop, he's a Muslim. He prays his five prayers, he's a Muslim. You see him in the mosque every now and again. He's a Muslim. You're allowed to go and buy his meat. You don't need to get into, but we know he's just a jahil kind of ammi. He's clean shaven, he's this, he's that. You don't need to get into that. The man is a Muslim, he prays five times a day. Islam is upon him. Therefore, it's halal to have his meat. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Sammu antum makulu, say the name of Allah upon it, you and eat it. Sheikh says, if we were to get into that type of thing, you got a butcher now on the road. A new butcher comes and opens up his shop. He's a Muslim. You've been in there, says to you, assalamu alaikum, this, that, the other. You can see things in his shop that indicate he's a Muslim. You can even see a copy of the Quran in his little storeroom at the back. He's a Muslim. You don't need to now get into the issue of, well, okay, he's a Muslim, but does he pray five times a day even? You don't even need to start getting involved in those issues. Does he pray five times a day or not? Does he do this? Does he do that? Does he this? Does he that? Some new guy, we don't know anything about him. You don't need to. You have established that he is Muslim, Sunni, Muslim, not Rafidi Shia. He is Sunni Muslim, enough. You can have his meat. You don't need to go into issues afterwards. Is he this? Is he that? What about this? What about that? Muslim, you can have his meat. Sheikh says, okay, what about in a situation where you overwhelmingly believe, not just you don't know now you actually overwhelmingly believe that this individual doesn't do the name of Allah upon it, doesn't spill the blood properly. You overwhelmingly believe that, for whatever reason and whatever proofs that you've got, he doesn't do it properly. Now what? Sheikh says, لو غلب على الظن أن هؤلاء القوم لا يذكرون اسم الله أو لا ينهرون الدم الجواب سمي وكل. Still. The default is that he is a Muslim. The default in his slaughtering is that it's halal. You've got evidences to indicate that he hasn't done it properly. Overwhelming evidences even. But definitive proof? Definitive proof or not?
No.
Therefore the default still stands that he's a Muslim and his slaughtering is halal. So all you got to do is mention the name of Allah upon it still and you can eat it. What about, and this is now the issue we were talking about last week, this is all about your McDonald's and Burger King and your chickens from Tesco. In kana, na'am, what if we have a doubt about whether the person actually fulfills the default or not? Is this man actually a Christian or not. If he is, absolutely gives you a slaughtering, name upon it and eat it. But now a new neighbor moves in next door. You have no idea really what he's upon. His name, John Smith, something, everything about him indicates he is from the people of the country, which is by default Christian. But you have nothing really to prove anything about him. Could be atheist for all you know. So now you have a doubt as to whether even the default is actually applicable here. And if you have a doubt there, now we have a problem. Everything we've said so far was based upon you knowing the default. After that, no questions need to be asked. Now we come to the first stage. Is the default even established or not? Is this meat coming from a Christian who slaughtered it or not in the first place? Then in this issue, the Shaykh says, he gives the example of a Muslim. إِنْ كَانَ هُنَاكَ أَصَلْ نَبْنِي عَلَيْهِ بَنَيْنَ عَلَى الْأَصَلْ. He says, okay, in that situation now, if you have a default, then you base your scenario onto the default. Example of that, we have a doubt about whether a Muslim, he prays or not. If he doesn't pray, then kafir, according to many of the scholars. He doesn't pray, kafir, according to many of the scholars. So now you have a doubt about whether he prays or not. The asal of a Muslim is that he should, and he is praying. The asal of a Muslim, the default of a Muslim, is that he should be praying five times a day. If you don't know whether this person prays five times a day or not, the asal on the issue is that he should be, as a Muslim, praying five times a day. Unless you have proof to the contrary, then you have to just go upon the basis that he prays five times a day. And therefore, now in the situation, you can determine the default him as a Muslim. Initially, you didn't know. Does he pray five times a day or not? Maybe you see everything on him, clean shaven, jeans, this, that, the other, all sorts, music in his store. You think, does this guy even pray five times a day or not? Or maybe other things have come to you, other evidences, other speech about the people regarding him. So now you have a doubt. Does this man even pray five times a day or not? Is he even Muslim or not? You have no proof to say he doesn't. The default, therefore, is as a Muslim, he should be. You go upon that and you can take his slaughtering. أَمَّا إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَدَيْكَ أَصْلٍ. For example, now the Shaykh says, if you do not have any default to build upon. Now, we're right down to the issue of this country. He says, there's a butcher's place. A butcher, a big warehouse, they're slaughtering hundreds and thousands of chickens every month, every year. Big slaughterhouse that supplies your supermarket. That big slaughterhouse, some British company, big slaughterhouse. Who are they in that slaughterhouse? Who is running that slaughterhouse? Who owns that slaughterhouse? Just some standard company, Richardson and Sons Slaughtering. So who is it? Are they Christians or are they not? It could be argued. What could be argued? The asal is that they are Christian. Based upon what? We're in the land of the... It's officially a Christian land. The people here, by default, are officially Christian. A British company from the British, by default, Christian country is therefore given the default ruling of being Christian. And therefore you can have the meat. And that is the opinion of some of the scholars. That type of reasoning is the opinion of some of the scholars. You say you're in the UK. The UK is, as an asal, a Christian country. Therefore that factory there, Richardson and Son, by the asal of the country it's in, of the people that are from the country, everything in that country, it is by default linked within that country, it's Christian. That's the ruling you give to it, so you can take its meat. That is an opinion of some of the scholars. However, there is an opinion which Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentions here. And that is, if you doubt the validity and the legitimacy of the slaughterer, is he by default somebody whose slaughtering is allowed or not? Like in this situation, okay, we know it's default a Christian country. We also know on the last consensus, somebody needs to check these figures, but from what I recall, there was a huge percentage, something like in the 40-odd percent, who did not declare themselves as Christian. From what I recall, somebody can check the figures. So from what seems to be the case, just barely over half of the people in the country actually proclaim to be Christian. If that figure is right, from what I recall, it was something like that. If that is correct, then only 50-odd percent of this country actually claim to be Christian, actually believe themselves as Christian, practice or attribute themselves to Christianity. Almost how many is that? 35 million people then? 70 million in the UK? So 35 million, half of the people almost, do not tick that they are Christian. So now the Slaughterhouse Johnson & Sons, which one are they? There's almost a 50-50 doubt. There is almost a 50-50 doubt whether they are Christians or they're not. Are they Christians or are they not? There is almost, from the figures that I recall, almost a 50-50 doubt. It's a 50-50 whether they are legitimate or not. Still, you could argue the default is Christianity and the majority, even if it's a scraped majority, is Christianity. So therefore, that is the default and you can apply it. But you can also argue there's almost, in that situation, a 50-50 that they're not even Christian. The reality, regardless of the asal of the country, the reality on the ground is almost half of the people reject the asal of the country. Almost half of the population reject the asal of the country. They reject it, refute it, rebuke it. So now this warehouse, are they from that half? There's a reasonable doubt. Here now there is not just a reasonable doubt, there's an actual reality, a factual thing here. Almost a 50% chance now they're not even from the Christians. They're not from those who proclaim that. In that situation, some of the scholars, they say, then it is, as an opinion of some of the scholars, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentions, you can leave that meat and not take it. Because now it's not an issue of how they slaughtered. Did they name Allah upon it? Did they not name Allah? Did they spill the blood or not? None of those issues. Now the issue is, by default, do they even fulfill the conditions of the slaughterer? You're actually having an issue in establishing by definite the default of that person. Not about how they slaughtered. The default you're not even sure about. So in that case, the scholars say you can leave that meat and don't eat that meat. And Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says, لَا نَأْكُلْ لِأَنَّنَا شَكَكْنَا فِي أَهْلِيَّةِ الذَّابِحِ. We now have a doubt about the fundamental of the slaughterer. Is that slaughterer somebody who fulfills the condition in the first place or not? If he did, after that we don't need to ask questions. But we can't even establish whether he does in the first place. So in this case, the Shaykh says you don't need to eat or don't eat that meat because afterwards, if it was established, wouldn't be a problem. But now we're struggling in the very basis of establishing whether he is somebody legitimate to slaughter or not. And that is really one of the issues in the country here that it comes down to. With the facts being the way they are, you have only a 50% chance of that slaughtering being from somebody Christian or not. The asal you could say is Christianity. But now the country, it is known by fact, only 50% or barely over actually say they are Christian. 50% almost say they're not Christian. That is the fact on the ground. So now when that's the fact on the ground, and we'll see what happens in the next consensus, it could be the case, probably, very likely, that the majority of the people on the ground reject the asal of the country. And they don't claim Christianity for themselves. That could well be the case in another few years' time in the next consensus. Mm-hmm. What's the figure, exact figure right now? What's your source? We need the source. Google where? Who? A government website? Well, you can check. Have a look. If that statistic is correct, then already on the ground, if that statistic is correct, the majority reject the asal of the country. So now you could say, okay, you're telling us we're going to go on the asal. We know, if that is correct by fact, that the majority of the people on the ground, the actual slaughterers, the majority reject the asal. So now what are you going to do? According to this opinion of the scholars, you can say, in that case, I'm not going to eat it. I'm not going to say we're going to go back to the asal when I know that the majority of the people themselves proclaim openly that they are not upon the asal. So that is an opinion, that is a sound opinion, that you can then therefore say, we're not going to have this meat. We're not going to have the meat of the Christians, inverted commas, because the majority are now in reality not Christian, and they themselves have proclaimed that. So that is the issue regarding that meat. No, but it's not suspicion. The consensus is the letter that comes to your house and you tick the paper.
But as in like the suspicion that the slaughterer himself isn't Christian. So you're suspecting about the slaughterer.
Uh-huh.
The overwhelming suspicion is that he's not Christian because of the fact and figures.
No, but this now in this case, if that statistic is true, then you can say the default of the slaughterers in this country is that they're not Christian. Because the majority is that they're not Christian.
So does the default come from the number of the people? Does the default,
will have to come from, it doesn't just come from the state like that. Okay. If the state, I mean, look at Bahrain. Bahrain, the government is? Sunni. Everybody on the ground walking around is? Shi'i. The country, as the people, the population are Shia and Khawarij, from the sects of them. The Sunnis are actually proper Sunnis are very few. But the country is a Sunni country. So when you look at the reality of the state, the reality of the facts, then it's difficult to start saying, but the Christian claims to be, the country claims to be Christian, and the monarchy is still Christian. If those figures carry on like that, the Christians in the country, as it's going, will be an absolute minority. So then you've got a situation, well, the monarchy is Christian, the country is a Christian country officially. Even though we know overwhelming majority of the people, they proclaim themselves a rejection of Christianity. Now it's very difficult to say we're going to go on the asal, even though the asal is only 12% Christians left in the country, we're going to go on that and take the meat. And 80% of them, they say we're not Christian anymore. That's a problem. And I don't think any of the scholars would say to you, you can base your asal upon the country being or whatever asal it is, when you know for a fact the majority of the people are not. In that case, really, the default upon basic probability is that the person slaughtering is not a Christian. There is more chance of that than him being a Christian.
What about if you were to add up the population of Christians, Jews and Muslims,
yeah,
and that came to above 50%? Because now then, the British slaughterhouse, we don't know if it could be one of the...
Johnson's and Sons could be owned by a Muslim, you mean?
No, it could be, if the slaughterer working there could be a Christian, Muslim or Jew. If it was to add up the population of all of them, because we're not just talking about Christians.
Yeah.
We're talking about like the Christians, the Muslims and the Jews, their meat halal. Yeah. If it was to add up the population of all of them, and that came to about 50%, then we can still kind of go back to the asal, is that the people of the...
I'm not saying that those percentages are what you use as your default states or not. But that's just a general argument that is used. That the overwhelming people are not upon Christianity, therefore the Christian places, or what is deemed as British places that should by default be Christian, cannot therefore by default be called Christian. But figures like that, if you say overall there's 47% Christians in the country, some Jews, some Muslims, the issue doesn't really open up in the same way, because we're talking about the Muslim institutes are clear, the Jewish institutes are clear. Really, it's the rest that the issue becomes. Really, that's the reality. If we're going to talk about real figures and everything, a Muslim butcher, you know the Muslim butchers. Green, everything, you know. The Christians, you know the Christians are. The Jews, The Jews are clear. Their shops, etc., everything. Even the Jewish, what they own, Jewish businesses, they are known as well. A business is owned by, it's a Jewish business, they are known, the big famous Jewish businesses too. So I don't really think that as a factual thing could be an issue. Really the issue is the Christian places. That's the only debate amongst the people. Hmm. Not necessarily, because like we said, that issue about the country being officially a Christian country can and could still be used by some as the default. They may say that is the default we're going to use. The country is Christian. Even the laws are based upon Christianity still, from the old laws, everything. Their practices, the monarchy, the whole thing. Everything is still run in a Christian manner at an official level in the country. So they could still say, we're going to use that. Like I say, the figures thing isn't a definitive thing. It's not like I'm saying that is the default. If 51% becomes non-Christian, therefore you can't eat haram. Not necessarily. So, I can't say that necessarily it's haram for them now. It's not possible to say that. You could still argue with all of these arguments about the default of the country being Christian, etc. But the other argument, when you look at it, forget about defaults and everything, when you look at it very clearly on a factual, statistical level. Some Johnson's and Sons slaughterhouse now, typical British slaughterhouse, if those stats are true, there is more chance that this slaughterhouse is run by people who are not Christian than there is that they are Christian. Therefore, it's a very sound argument for those who argue this, that you shouldn't buy this meat. Because now we have a real doubt. This is the one that the Sheikh mentioned. If we doubt whether the person slaughtered actually fulfills the fundamental criteria or not, in that case, leave the meat. It can be very strongly argued that in this country, we cannot establish whether that slaughterhouse is fulfilling the default condition or not. It can be strongly argued based upon facts and figures. And therefore, it can be left, that meat can be left. But at the same time, you have the original argument about the default that can still be used. But like we said, restaurants and takeaways and things, you're still very restricted to use the argument there. Because there you have the issue of contamination with the other things too. That would only be applicable if you make sure and you ask them about how it's cooked and things like that. But meat that you buy from the shops, from the supermarkets and things, based upon the default, you can buy that chicken and can take it home. Mm. Go on.
For example, in like Christian countries, everyone may be Christian. I see a McDonald's.
Yeah, the only issue about takeaways, like we said, is some scholars, they said you have to make sure, by default, yes, you can. But you have to make sure that they haven't cooked that burger in the same oil they've been cooking some bacon in just before for the previous customer. It's got to make sure there's no contamination. As long as they tell you, we've just refreshed all of the oils and we've just got our next set of cutlery out. 12 o'clock, we change everything over. You're the first one to order, no problem, take your burger from there. You just got to make sure there's no contamination, the scholars say, in that situation. Otherwise, in a place like Italy, go to any supermarket, buy what you want. Buy the chickens on offer, buy all the meat. Christian country, you can do it. In Barbados, over there, they have a church on every corner. Christians, all over the place. Go to their shops there, buy the meat, no problem. Christian country. In reality, a Christian country. But you go to places where they're not. Here now, compare here even to Italy. Compare here to those Caribbean places, other places. You see a huge difference. Huge difference in the reality of Christianity in that place. Here we know, even they talk about it in all of their research and everything, how Christianity is on the, it's slipping away, the numbers are falling, the number of people who go to churches on Sunday is non-existent. So there's a big difference in the reality of it on the ground compared to what they claim as their asal. And to places like Italy where their asal is the reality a lot more, and it's seen on the ground, and in Caribbean countries and other places. Go on.
When we're saying that you have to verify that the utensils and everything have been not been the oil that we mix or so. Mm. So why do we have to verify there? What with the slaughtering, we don't have to verify. Like like if we're saying that, okay, McDonald's is in McDonald's in Barbados, then the asal is a Christian, but then we still have to verify that it's not been mixed with pork. And so why do we have to verify that? Why can we not just say that we don't have to we don't have to ask how they slaughtered the meat? Why do we have to ask how they cooked it or what utensil they used?
Utensils. One thing you could say is because utensils, particularly and specifically, have been mentioned in a hadith where the companion is exactly the same as this hadith. There is another hadith where they came and said to the Prophet ﷺ, "We live inna bi ardi qawmi ahl al-kitab. We live in a land amongst the people of the book. Afana'kulu fi aniyatihim. Can we eat in their utensils?" Hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, "In lam tajidu ghayraha faghsiluha fakulu fiha." If you can't find any others, wash them and eat in them. So utensils have particular rulings anyway. In that one there it says, wash them and use them. Why wash them and use them? Because prior to that they may have been putting pork in there and alcohol in there and other things. So that hadith can be used as an example of why you'd have to make sure contamination has not occurred. And plus the contamination issue, it's a bit different to the slaughtering of the asal. Contamination, now you're talking about actual haram items going into things. Things which have been told are haram. And you know they are haram. And you know, not by doubt or anything, you know it's there. You can see the guy before you just ordered a pork burger or whatever. So you know, there's no issue of did they or did they not. By default, you know it's there. So then now you need to make sure was the contamination or not. So that is something it would be useful to establish, and you should establish. Sheikh Muhammad Bazmul, he mentioned that it is good to establish those things. We'll have to conclude their prayer. Inshallah ta'ala, 2 weeks' time. Next week's the conference. 2 weeks' time we'll carry on with this. Same time, 8 p.m. Inshallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.